What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and today, old friend, played Porch Fest and getting prolific with the albums. I have King Kai. Kai, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me, Alan. Not a whole lot to tell, just kind of trying to stay busy with the music and day-to-day life, I guess.
Yeah. Dude, I want to dig into it, man. It's been a while since we hung out. And guys, by the way, like, Kyle was one of the first closed on Sundays, but I didn't like the take, so I wanted to redo it. So here we are. I got a little lost in the sauce that night for the interview portion. And then, I don't know, I just felt like the recording, it could have went a lot better.
I was going to say, to be fair to you, though, I think pretty much anybody that was here might have overindulged just a wee bit.
It's easy to do.
Sure.
We're in the house of it.
Absolutely.
Well, dude, for those that don't know, and which you've been on the show a couple of times now, but just a little bit about your project, man, if you want to share, like, where you're based out of and just the style and genre.
Sure. Well, the project is Kai and the Heretics. I've had several contributors, collaborators evolve a revolving door lineup, I suppose, over the course of 2018 forward. So, okay, closing in on, I guess, our eighth year as a recording project. Have not actually played out too many shows due to instability in lineup. None of this is negative, it's just like due to health reasons. One guy actually passed away, unfortunately. Another one moved to Texas. Even Alan has had a hand in the Heretics at one point or another.
Porch Fest.
Absolutely. He did back us up the very first year we played. So thanks again for that. That's cool.
I'd do it again.
Stay tuned.
Nothing like with the style of music that you do and like the accompaniment that you need, you know, whether it's bass or guitar, it's something that I really enjoy doing, just because like I could be the drone with either instrument, you know, and just kind of help that and like shoegaze, man. And really you're a huge part of like why I like that genre of music so much. And anytime I'm interviewing or I'm just talking to somebody on the street about music, if they bring up shoegaze, buddy, I about lose my mind. You know, it's like, oh, you know Spaceman 3. And then, you know, it's the rabbit hole.
There would be Spaceman 3 and My Bloody Valentine, Lush, Rod, all these really great, like, British bands.
Yeah, Brian Jonestown.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk to you about that.
That's what's fun is he sings like with that he sounds like a British person. It kind of reminds me a bit of Robert Smith from The Cure. I don't know if he's a fan of Anton or not, but he doesn't need The Cure. Like, he's pretty great on his own. Definitely a major influence on me personally as a musician, being kind of like, he's the same way in the Jonestown as I guess I am with the Heretics. Just the one core member that produces most of the material with a little help from our friends.
Yeah. And so, like, just with the recordings, bold move. I like the move. And you may have changed your speed on it. But, man, just where we are with streaming services, whether it be Spotify, Apple, I always had a lot of respect for you because you were Bandcamp only. And, like, you know, what was the reasoning behind that? You didn't want to get lost in that machine? Or, like, in my opinion, dude, like, art is... art shouldn't be free. Like, even if, like, Bandcamp, and I know I don't think you have limits set on a song or an album, like, even if you just donate 50 cents or a dollar, you know, pay to play, at least you have something invested in it. And to me, that brings value as a listener, is like, I had to pay for this, so therefore it's a lot more meaningful than just being on a playlist on a Spotify player or whatever.
Sure, I absolutely agree with that. You know, I can remember being a kid and we had this one little music store in a row of storefronts in Hamilton. That's actually where I'm from, my hometown, Hamilton, Alabama, about an hour, 15 minutes north of here. It's a little nowhere town, but it is home, and I can navigate that place well enough to... be able to create in the isolated environment that I actually need to be able to create. When I did live in other areas, which would have been like right outside Nashville, about 2.5 hours outside of Chicago. I mean, it's close enough we could take the tram into the city, but it's like still far enough away that, I mean, we were in Indiana technically, but it would come to nearly 3 hours away to pick up people in the town that I was staying in. Not proud of it, but it's I was heard it be called the murder capital of the world. They call it Gary.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a rough, it's a pretty rough place, but, you know, I won't talk bad about that place.
I didn't know you had moved around that much, dude. I thought you was always kind of in the Hamilton area.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. I did not ever move out of Hamilton until after graduation. Tried a little stint in Florence, came back here, Dirty Clergy, kind of hung around in Hamilton, Winfield area for a couple of years, then went to Indiana, came back here.
What led you up there?
I met a member of the opposite sex, and was a young, impressionable man with little to no very good guidance or role models to, I guess, seek advice from. I just kind of, like, went with it, and you learn what you learn out there, you know?
Yeah.
I am glad, though, because I will give a shout-out to another band that's, I met them up there. I think they're maybe based out of Valparaiso, Indiana, or perhaps Crown Point, somewhere around in that area, like the Northwest Indiana music scene, I guess. Don't really know many other people other than it'd be Steve and Eric. They're a band called Evil Waves. Really phenomenal Midwestern psych rock.
You say Evil Waves?
Evil Waves, yes.
All right.
Very fantastic psychedelic rock. Somebody at one of the shows they played, I guess I'd never heard them before, wasn't familiar with them, but passing through, and they'd mentioned that. It's like, man, these guys sound like Dick Dale. But, like, if he took even more heroin or I don't know. It's a bit of a cheeky statement, but it sticks. Like, Evil Waves, check them out.
Then coming back to Hamilton, man, and just Like, I know, like, a lot of the influences probably comes from, like, the records you were listening to, but, like, how did you get your hands on those records? And I know we've talked about it in the past. It's just, like, man, like, your musical influence has had such an impact on, like, what I listen to. Just to kind of reiterate it.
I'm sorry, what?
Like, how you got into, like, your record collection and how you stumbled across, like, what you listen to today and what influences you.
Okay, well, I guess my modern taste, like, the taste in music that I'm currently pulling from for inspiration, I've been pretty, like, routine with that for, I guess, about the last 10 to 12 years. My friend Zach actually first turned me on to, like, a lot of this cooler underground modern garage rock and psychedelic music. Ty Siegel and King Tuff definitely being, like, two of the major artists that I, like, really sunk my teeth into. And then you can go on further back with stuff that's, like, a little bit more well-known and wasn't, you know, like a brand new thing at the time. There's Dinosaur Jr. There was, you know, like, some of the Nirvana stuff, even, like, Sub Pop guys. Anything that came out on Creation in Britain, anything that, not anything, I won't say anything, but, like, a lot of the stuff on Factory and Creation Records, anything Alan McGee touched, you know, Joy Division, I really liked that kind of stuff. And then going on further back, seeing what these guys liked, just following the history. And you come to the Velvet Underground, and you look in, recommended videos pop up, recommended this, recommended that, and eventually, through all this noise and chaos, I stumble upon this band called Spacemen 3. Still to this day, probably my favorite, absolute favorite thing. Do love the offshoots of Jason Pierce's Spiritualized and Peter Kimber's. He's had several different projects. Just Sonic Boom as just him, which I think they're all pretty much just him with collaborators. Then he has another project called Spectrum. He has the EAR, Experimental Audio Research. That one's probably the one I haven't got into as much, but definitely Spiritualized, Spectrum, Spaceman 3, the Velvets, the Stooges, and oddly enough, here lately, especially with the last record I've put together, which we can discuss it, I guess, in a little bit. But a lot of Towns Van Zandt coming through, man. Oddly enough, I guess, in a way, oddly relatable, even though it's more of like a folky acoustic country. But it's kind of got a dark edge to it. Like, his stuff's pretty melancholy.
He was incredibly dark. I never got a chance to meet him, but you know, James Mullis, Early James, he had an opportunity to meet Towns, and, like, they became fast friends, and that was about, I think, over a period of 3 to 6 months right before he passed.
That's pretty cool.
And like, when it went down, and this is not to speak ill of Towns at all.
Sure.
But he said, I believe anybody that knew him, it wasn't just in the music that he wrote. He had a lot of demons. And he had a lot on his mind and a lot on his plate. And you know, I probably listen to him damn near every day.
Yeah, I'm finding myself being guilty of it as well. It's just really good stuff. I can't seem to get enough of it. Another one kind of in the same vein of that outsider, like, Towns is honestly just his own thing. People can call it folk or country or Americana, or, I mean, even some of it might be considered lo-fi-ish, indie, whatever you want to call it. I just call it Towns Van Zandt. Another one is Daniel Johnson. Realizing I'm a lot more influenced by him than I may have originally thought. And then visiting back on some, like, nostalgia listens, like some stuff I was in earlier on, like Saints, and going back listening to, like, the, you know, that Ojo Crucial Sex Pistols record, it's not really so much that I enjoy the Pistols, but they are important, like what they stood for, what they inspired, other things to come. Like, no Sex Pistols, there's no Joy Division.
Mm-hmm.
A band far more paramount and important to me and my influences, I would say, than the Pistols. Not to hate on them, they are a lovely raucous bunch. Rest in peace to poor Simon Ritchie. I'm not sure if he ever learned to actually play the bass or not, but he sure did have a cool haircut and a cool leather jacket and a really shitty attitude, and that's what sold in the funk scene.
Well, dude, let's talk about the latest record. You mentioned it earlier, for those of you out there listening, you may have never had an opportunity to kind of see Kai and the Heretics live, but if you go to Bandcamp, look up Kai and the Heretics, all the recordings, I would say, 80 to near 100% of it is you. And so, like, I always thought it was kind of tongue-in-cheek for you to, like, Kai and the Heretics. I understood, like, the name, it's like, with a live performance, there will be Heretics, but, like, on the recordings, it's Kai. Like, what made you, like, want to do the recording process that way? Is it, like, to have full control and you knew exactly what you wanted? Or, like, it was, well, I'm going to be recording this at 2 in the morning and nobody else was readily available?
Both of those statements could be true of the process at times. I wouldn't deny that. I do keep a bit of a weird schedule. I've typically always had to have some sort of other income, and my own personal preference is to not get up early in the morning. I'm usually not awake before noon. If I am, it's because there's something pressing going on, or I've got some kind of prior or obligation. Otherwise, I'm getting my day started like noon forward, and I'll be ending my day anywhere between, you know, like 2-3 in the morning. It could roll over. I mean, it's never usually, like, if the sun's starting to come up, like, that's my cue to go ahead and go to bed. Around 4 to 6 is typical lay down time, and then just up, rinse, repeat, go meet the day, do it all over again. As far as having control over the project, I think I'm just used to that at this point. It was never really about having control. It was more like if I'm going to get a record made, it just out of necessity. A lot of it is just me. I think the very first record that someone else actually collaborates with would have been, I guess it would have been Enjoy the View with Michael Griggs. His guitar playing's on the title track. He wrote actually all of the lyrics. I did do the vocals, but that's his song. My buddy that left this life and, you know, during the COVID pandemic, all that good stuff. So
yeah, well, let's talk about the new record, man. You talked like Tans Van Zandt had some influence on it, and just like, would that mean like you're gonna break the acoustic out, or do we still get that typical like shoegaze psychedelic side, or like what have you got?
That's what's fun about it. What I have today was it. I like to, if I were a genre, I'm not sure I could identify just strictly within the realms of this or that. I've been referring to the music I make as sonic intention experiments, because they can be literally anything that is the music. There's several that I've got like back cataloged already. Like, there's two records that are fully ready to go, but they are, they won't be released for a while. I like to keep it that way. That lineup I have now for 1 and 2, or A and B, whatever you want to call it, like, it could change between now and the actual release date. And the album that you were asking me about would be, I suppose, the EP, Heart Full of Soul, that came out. My cousin Miles Horn has been in it since the inception. I guess he would be the only other member we collaborate over distance because he's in Texas. Could be relocating to another spot even sooner than we had anticipated, but the process shouldn't be halted in any way. If he wants to continue sending stuff, we can work on it. And it came about with getting on Spotify, though. It's like the only release we have that's on Spotify, and someone liked it enough to ask, why can't I find it anywhere besides Bandcamp? And one thing led to another. Miles and this person discussed it, and they actually offered to pay to put it on all streaming services. Like, they thought that much of it, and that was pretty, that was just a cool moment. That's a feel-good moment for me. I could have just afforded to do it myself, but, you know, like we were talking, I was trying to be like a Bandcamp-only thing, but Miles finally made me realize, he's like, what do you have to lose? Just put, like, take 6 song EP or whatever and just throw it out there and see what happens. I mean,
you know, and as much as I hate to say it, man, with where we are, I believe, with music discovery and just how people ingest music, if you're not on Spotify or, you know, maybe Apple Music or some of the other, you can almost forget it. Like, even, like, if you and I were talking and you were telling me about this great new band, now, do I have the Bandcamp app on my phone and do I use it? Yes. Because I have a lot of bands that are Bandcamp only now, and it's the only way that I get their art. But, like, just memory retention, like, if I don't pull it up right then on Bandcamp, it's gone, because, like, I'm not going to be hearing it. Like, my player today that I use at work, or just while I'm listening to music, I use YouTube Music because I like watching live stuff.
Same.
And, YouTube Music, I can have the actual album, or I can just pull up live performances from whatever's recorded. And so that works well. But to be on Spotify, and for, like, people that enjoy your music, well, next thing you know, they'll put you in a playlist, and then all their friends have been exposed to it. You know, it just kind of, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. And you do miss a lot of that on Bandcamp, but, like, I put a lot of respect on being Bandcamp only because, I mean, that, you know, it tells me that, like, your reasons are a little more pure.
And that's thank you for saying that. That's those are words I've failed to come up with myself when people have asked me that same question in the past. But, man, you know, that's, I get what you're trying to do with the Bandcamp thing, but, I mean, like, aren't you concerned about, like, seeing an investment return? Like, aren't you concerned with me? No, actually, I'm not. I'm concerned with making good quality music that I can listen to and live with and enjoy, and it's a piece of me that's never going to exist if I ain't do these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about just, like, that stuff hearing, being heard by as many ears as possible. They don't necessarily have to pay for it. But, like you said, that tells you that, you know, if you're like a Bandcamp only artist, that your intentions are a little bit more pure as far as regarding the art.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great for artists, trying the experiment I'm trying.
And it's,
guys, you can get my entire discography for free if you want to.
Yeah, you,
and you're welcome to do that. But the people that could have had it for free and went ahead and paid something anyway, donated, That's heavenly stuff. That's amazing.
And guys, if you're unfamiliar with Bandcamp, like, go to Bandcamp on Friday and buy the music. And, like, it's Bandcamp Friday, so, like, that's the day where if you were to say, okay, I'm going to pay Kai $5 for this song or $20 for this EP, well, he gets 100% of that. You know, like, Saturday through Thursday, that doesn't happen. So if you buy music on Bandcamp on Friday, the artist actually gets to hold 100% of it. And that's a beautiful thing about Bandcamp to me.
They have done that and done that and done that and been pretty consistent with it for a number of years now. It's like definitely a thing. And it does, if you can catch that, on Bandcamp Friday, I've had several good hauls before. Definitely appreciate it, each and every one. I don't care if it's 15 cents or it's $15. Like, that's great. Like, thank you. But also to you guys that downloaded it for free, if that's just all you could afford thanks for listening anyway. Thanks for taking the time to check it out and download it. Like I said, it's really not about money. It does help, but regardless, like, I'm going to be doing this as long as I am able-bodied and spirit-willing and healthy and happy enough to do it.
And that's where I, like, when it comes to social media, period, just in general, and I'm thankful for it, like, not so much on, like, the video side of Porch Talk, because we're kind of really just getting our feet off the ground with that, trying to improve the quality of it and the sound, but, like, the audio version of Porch Talk has been around for over 7 years, and, like, it's, we're thankful for it, but, like, we have a listening base, and, like, when we do something good, like, they share it, and so, like, the necessity for Porch Talk to be on social media is beginning to diminish. Like, the returns is like, I don't really care about the follower count. Yes, it grows. And yes, more people are getting engaged. And, like, it is nice to, like, hey, maybe you forgot about me. So, like, here's a recent interview, something to that effect. But I'm finding, like, the purity of it, like, whether it is with this business or whether it's with the festival, whether it's with the podcast or... and I've almost taken my personal life completely offline, which I think it should have never been online in the first place. I think that's how we get into a lot of trouble. I was talking with a friend. He stopped by in here yesterday, and we shot the bull for a little while. And, you know, he was like, man, you gave me some advice about a year ago, and I took it, and it helped a lot. And I was like, I didn't remember what I told him. And he said, you told me one day that that I had a mouth problem, that you share too much about your personal life, and that it's a whole lot better to keep things hid. Not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just everybody you know doesn't need to know everything about you, period.
Absolutely. Amen, man.
And I was like, I forgot I told you that. But I was like, yeah, you had a problem with oversharing. And I think about it now, and I was like, you have quit oversharing. So good job. You know, not you.
Oh yes,
not you, but you're the guy.
Yeah, I got you.
But yeah, I forget about that, because I mean, like, it would be posts every day. I mean, you knew exactly what he had to eat or what he was up to, and I was like, dude, it's too much. You know, I don't even know any of that.
I had a similar experience with I don't think we're connected on there anymore, and I'll spare the person's name just out of, you know, respect, but not a bad guy, just, you know, like your person, kind of be telling a little too much all the time. One thing led to another, and some people, you know, eventually when you're just like running off the mouth and you're just posting status after status after status, and, you know, people kind of get like almost built up a tolerance to it, and, like, you know, it's not as notable anymore, because, like, oh, here's the eighth one I've seen, you know, since, yeah, I've opened the app. He's like, I don't know what the topic was, all the details really kind of escaped me. It's just the what happened here is, like, so he's arguing with one person, and another person jumps in, and now this guy's arguing with, like, several people, and
the dog pile commences.
Yeah, well, mind you, he's on social media, and he has the problem of oversharing. His new status that comes up says, I sure do wish everybody on Facebook would mind their own business, and Lord God, there's this guy. He doesn't even wait 2 minutes to post it. He said, well, maybe take it off social media then. Ain't that wild?
Like... Dude, yeah, like, the post you posted, you were so close. You were so close to figuring it out. He's right there.
Yeah, he's like posting it for everybody to see. Like, not just your friends, I mean public. Like, anybody that with an internet connection can find it and see it. It's that out there. And for you to have the audacity to turn right around when you get butthurt and say, hey, why can't you all just mind your own business? We'd be glad to take your page down,
yeah,
you know, and stop, you know, connecting it to ours. And that's kind of how the thing works, I suppose. I'm not an expert. It seems, yeah, that way.
Yeah. And it's just like, man, there's an awful lot of trouble, man. And like with the advent of it, and it's, and I know we're kind of getting off base, but
I was gonna say you wouldn't do that in like a in person, I wouldn't think, unless
exactly
you wouldn't just go up to everybody, like say this place has 30 people in it, customers in and out, like,
yeah,
you wouldn't, I wouldn't come in here and just be like, well, hey everybody, let me just tell you like all these innermost darkest deep secrets, let me tell you everything going wrong and right, and you know who I love and what I'm having for dinner and what it might look like once I've digested exactly. it and all this other good stuff.
Leave a little mystery to it, man. Yes. Like we didn't even need to know the identity of you, like it's, and that's another thing too, it's like, you know, whether the band camp or like whatever else is, I mean, take proximity. Like, I like it a whole lot better if calling it what it is. Like, I would like to see on your band camp that you rep Hamilton. I completely understand why you would say Birmingham. It's the closest thing that somebody may have heard of.
Correct.
But, like, I always love, like, when we were doing Porch Fest at the house or, like, when – whenever I was doing anything, I would always, like, you know, playing a show somewhere I'd never been, from the booming metropolis of Kennedy, Alabama. It's like, I never even heard of that. Of course you haven't. It's false. It's not booming. Yeah. There's nothing there.
See, well, Kennedy's got, it's like just, like, what, a little over 1,000, or is it less?
It's less.
It's less than 1,000. That's right. Hamilton is, well, yeah, there's no question. Kennedy's definitely like a smaller community, less folks. Hamilton has the Ramp School of Ministry, which brings a lot of people that are otherwise probably wouldn't even be in Hamilton. And a lot of locals, I'm sure there'd be a lot of people in Hamilton check this out. So I'm going to address this town. Guys, you like pride yourselves on being big Christians and followers of Christ, or you know, what have you, to each their own, and I have nothing to say about any of that to anyone. That's great if that's what you want to do, but you know, these people from the Ramp,
oh, that's a cult.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, why not give them the courtesy to worship the way they'd like to, because I'm not gonna go to it myself. But I'd have rub, you know, like shoulders and elbows with some of those people that either they are a student there, or they are a former student there, or a teacher of some sort of guidance to youth. All of them seem to be pretty decent individuals. Seem to be like wanting to follow Christianity, be a Christian for the right reasons. They do catch a lot of hate and a lot of slack. I've also been guilty of it in the past, but I was like, guys, I mean, is it really solving
it? Two guys waiting out there, we all sat down and we spent a good amount of time talking about it. Both of them have had, like, Webb, he used to be a manager at AT&T.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
And sometimes he would get sent up to the Fulton branch, you know, which is practically just across the state line.
Yes.
And a lot of the employees coming in that he was training, like, they came from the Ramp. Mm-hmm. And, like, he said it wasn't 5, it wasn't 10, it was every one of them. Like, they were all a certain way. And, like, right when you heard the Ramp, you knew exactly what you was getting yourself into, for better or worse.
I will say, it's like anything else. Like, overall, it's not something I want to mix with either.
Yeah.
I don't want to mix with it either, overall. But there are a handful of you guys that are really stellar and really solid and really impressive. And y'all just need to keep doing that, and you probably all know who you are. They will all watch this.
Yeah.
Those that I mentioned. I can't speak for the school. I can't speak for every student or every person that's ever went to it. I've not had anything that's, like, been malicious or too tough. aside from working food industry jobs in that town.
And it may have been too strong of a word for me to call it a cult, and I do. But there, I'm sure you're aware there are a lot of people on the outside that see that, and that's how they view it. I've heard some people go so far to say as, I think it might be a sex thing, or whatever. I don't know. I'm just outside looking in, and I'm doing like our buddy on social media. I'm probably talking too much about something I don't know.
Well, there's really, I mean, that's a great way to know things you don't know is having discussions with folks. And that's all I'd ever heard was that one-sided, like, well, it's this, well, it's that, and it's always painted negative. And when it boils down to it, it's really, like, just kind of seemed to be about not so much the school. It seemed to be about something else deep down. It was about something else. Like, they're inconveniencing you because there's, 50 to 100 of them in line ahead of you at a restaurant. Or, they're just everywhere because they're having a conference or something. Or maybe something, they're going to be like with anybody else. Like, they're not all going to be perfect. Some of them are going to be very polite. Some of them are not going to speak at all. And some of them are going to be very annoying and obnoxious. They're kids. So even some of the adults are the ones that are more on the obnoxious side, I've seen. But they're just like anybody else, I think. Until they take food out of my mouth or threaten my family in some, like, actual meaningful way, or, threaten to, like, destroy the quality of life I've built for myself, which is, humble at best. But, yeah, so what? Do your thing. I mean, like, I would also welcome, a Satanism cult or whatever, it's just, maybe we'll cut that out.
No, I mean, like,
I'm just like, teach her, if you can just be a decent person, we can reshoot that part, but I guess if you just, like, be a decent person, it doesn't really matter too much to me personally. All that stuff may matter to someone else, but
yeah,
if you can just, like, not be an asshole, you can have a friend in me. The rest really doesn't matter.
Let's do three more questions and we'll wrap this up because I'm ready for some music. Is question one, dude, is April 17th, 18th, 19th is Porch Fest for this year. Will Kai and the Heretics make an appearance, possibly on a Sunday?
Possibly on a Sunday. Possibly on a Saturday. Possibly on a Friday. That's why if anybody is going to come to Porch Fest for just to see little old me and whatever ragtag of misfits I can con into doing this, better make sure I like that, that your calendar is open the whole weekend, because all 3 days are going to be jam-packed full. I mean, he had to move it to being a 3-day thing, so, because there's so much good stuff going to be able to be showcased.
I wanted to, like, this year, I wanted to totally reformat it. Like, we're not doing comedy this year. I've got a lot of musicians, not only that they play clothes on Sundays, but I got musicians out in California, New York, Wisconsin, and over the past couple of years, they have asked. I've never played Alabama or Mississippi, and I want to come play Porch Fest. We've never had the opportunity to play down there, and we want to play. And so, like, this year's Porch Fest, the mantra or our tagline is one for thee, and it's one for the musicians. And so thee is the musician. And so our entire focus for Porch Fest 26 is, like, this is our servant, our service, and we're offering everything with our funding, with our time, and everything that we have 100% to musicians. Now, with comedy, I want to do just a comedy festival, and I want to do it like maybe at the Trotter Center in Columbus or maybe at a theater in Tuscaloosa. And the reason behind that is, like, at Munson Brothers, where we are, and I'm a comedy fan, I love comedy, I would love to have 25, 30 comedians over two or three days, just like we do with Porch Fest. But I don't like open-air comedy. I don't think it works. I think it needs to be in a controlled environment, and I think it needs to be more, like, there's comedians on stage, and we're in kind of a theater environment. And that's just personally, like, the way that I like to see it and have it, whether it be, like, there could be someone driving down the street with the music loud and it could throw the entire rhythm off, or whatever, right?
Sure.
And so, like, this is not saying that I'm done with comedians or, like, I've had it with doing comedy. No, I just, the comedians I've been working with for the past 3 years now, like, we all decided that it needs to be its own thing. But comedy fans go to that for comedy. They don't go to Porch Fest and they're there for music, and they have to wait for comedy at the very end. Because that's how we've done it for years. Mm. Like, straight music, then comedy at the end. And so by the time the comedy was getting up, I mean, it could be, hell, 11 o'clock or midnight. That's not fair to them.
Yeah, yeah. I said the first year I went to Porch Fest, when it was still at the house in Kennedy, my boy John.
Like, Johnny Havard or Big John?
Yeah. Still, like, he really cracked me up. He's a great guy, too, but, like, I thought he was really damn funny.
Yeah. And question two, man, is just kind of back to the music, just to plug it. Like, if they want to look you up, Bandcamp, even though social media may be the very devil, we have done a good job of shotting all over it. But if they want to follow along, where is the best place to find you, keep up with the story, and find your music?
Well, the Facebook, it does not have a page, so we do have a presence on Instagram. It's just Kai and the Heretics is the tag. Spotify, Apple Music, anything else that may possibly be a way to stream music that's, you know, like, used by lots of people, or more of a more popular platform. Just any of your, like, typical streaming platforms the Heart Full of Soul is on. But, like, if you, like, really want to dig, like, really want to dig, if you can't afford to dig, we'll buy you a shovel so that you can dig. But it's Bandcamp.
Right on. Kai and the Heretics. Last question to walk out of the door, and this is probably because I'm a Dragon Ball Z head, is why did you drop King? Because it was King Kai and the Heretics.
Anticipation of, you know, I'd spoken with a paralegal, you know, just about, you know, because she had actually brought up to me that, you know, the King Kai thing. I was like, you know, what is this fine? You know, I was trying to look into, like, is there any other band called the Heretics or anything called Kai and the whatever? I don't want to
impose.
Yeah.
Infringe.
There's so many, like, just the bands, really. And to me, that's like a classic cool rock and roll thing to do, is to be the somethings.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the Cure.
Or the Brian Jonestown Massacre, yeah. Even, or the, you know, the Strokes, the Hives, the Vines, the White Stripes, the Strokes. I probably said Strokes twice, but happens when you've had one. Kidding. That's a terrible joke. Please. It was actually Miles's idea to call it Kai and the something, because it just had like a little handful of recordings, and he's like, this is like, he's like, man, it's like listening to like four or five different U's, like, all playing all together. Like, this is pretty cool. Like, what if we called it Kai and the, and it was like Heretics, the Lunatics, the this, the that. Well, Heretics is just kind of like, we both kind of just really like that. I particularly liked Heretics, but it was he that came up with it. Miles Horn actually did name the band Christian at what it is now, currently. But I guess I hope that answered the question.
Hell yeah. Well, all right, everybody, we are going to take a break. We're going to hear some music, and thank you for listening to Porch Talk. Go support Kai and the Heretics. Maybe you'll see them at Porch Fest 26, April 17th, 18th, or 19th. Thank y'all.
Thanks, guys.
Got an irrespectful time. and thank you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.